This is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting.
Support for the legislature today is provided by West Virginia University, offering education, healthcare, and the opportunity to achieve career success since 1867. Information at go.wvu.edu/forward.
Welcome to the Legislature Today. I'm Curtis Tate. This is the final episode of the 2024 regular session. The House of Delegates started the day with more than 60 bills on third reading, with many of the lightning rod bills moved to the bottom of the agenda. Bills passed and sent to the governor include posting the national motto in schools, lowering prescription costs, fixing substandard recovery centers, and developing Corridor H. Randy Yohe has covered the House all session and has this report.
There was continued pushback from the Democratic caucus to Senate Bill 152, displaying the official U.S. motto, "In God We Trust," in all public schools. The bill says the motto must be displayed properly and conspicuously. Democrats questioned House Judiciary Chair Tom Fast, a Republican from Fayette County, on if the motto had to be in English. Is taxpayer money footing the bill? And these questions from Delegate Joey Garcia, a Democrat from Marion County.
Is there any penalty for noncompliance?
It does not state so. It just makes it a mandate.
Another question. Is it required to be made in the United States?
I'm sorry, what?
Is the poster board required to be made in the United States?
To the gentleman and your colleagues, I would suggest you read the bill. It's only a few paragraphs.
Okay, that's no. Is that the answer?
That is correct.
Okay, and then finally, I mean, it sounds like there's no penalty per se. So if there is not compliance, how would any entity, whether it's a school or a university, be forced to comply with this code?
To the gentleman, there is no penalty in the code, so that's my answer on all that.
Okay. So, I mean, even though it says shall, there's really nothing that requires or that makes any school system do this.
They would just be in violation of the law.
The National Motto in Schools bill passed 86-10. Some delegates said Senate Bill 325 was complicated. Others said not so much. The bill deals with distributions of drugs to safety net providers and contract pharmacies. Under a federal program, it would have pharmaceutical companies cut costs on many drugs sold to pharmacies by 50%. Delegate Larry Rowe, a Democrat from Kanawha County, was among a bipartisan group urging passage to benefit many West Virginians.
The question is can they discriminate against rural and small pharmacies? And this bill is going to say that they can't do that. And I would remind folks that are concerned about rural hospitals, the governor had $100 million in his original budget for rural hospitals, and that was not in a budget that we sent over to the Senate. Maybe we hope, certainly, that that appropriation can be made at some point. But if you want to help small and rural pharmacies and hospitals, vote yes on this bill.
The pharma bill passed 96-1. Senate Bill 475 would require more review and regulations for unscrupulous substance use disorder recovery residences. It would crack down on operators who often pack clients into substandard dwellings with substandard treatment practices to skim federal grant dollars from those who want to get clean and sober. Delegate Mike Pushkin, a Democrat from Kanawha County, was among those supporting the bill.
I mean, there's a byproduct of this horrible drug epidemic that has ravaged our state that we need more housing, more safe places for people to get better. And just in any industry, you have good actors and you have bad actors. And because of some of the bad actors, a lot of us have heard from the residents there, from the residents who live near there, that we needed to do something to help clean up this industry.
The bill passed 96-1. And among all the new corridor authorities being proposed, Senate Bill 571 would create the West Virginia Corridor H Advanced Energy and Economic Corridor Authority. Delegate Brian Ward, a Republican from Hardy County, which is right along the still unfinished corridor, was one of several delegates opposing what he said would be faraway bureaucrats deciding hometown development issues.
All the objectives that this bill outlines is already achievable through one county working with their neighboring county or multiple counties without being tilted heavy to governor appointees and industry experts. We've got brilliant people in each of our counties. This has got seven counties: Lewis, Upshur, Barber, Randolph, Tucker, Grant, and Hardy. The 20-mile section between Hardy County and 81, where eventually we'll start to see heavy traffic and real opportunities, is 5 years away at best, maybe 10 years away. We've got plenty of time to rush this. Is nothing more than being over-eager to advance an agenda. It doesn't mention green energy per se, but anybody can look at the objectives. It's a bad bill.
Before any vote was taken, Senate Bill 571 was postponed for action by one day, which is all that's left. For the legislature today, I'm Randy Yowie. Supposed to please
say no. So far, the Senate has passed 361 bills from both the House and the Senate. But there are a number left to discuss, and a lot of those bills are controversial. Brianna Heaney has a look at what the Senate worked on last night and earlier today, as well as some of the legislation that is slated for this evening.
The Legislative Auditor's Office is set up to perform audits and analysis of state agencies. The office reports to the legislature, and findings and reports are made public. Senate Bill 687 changes who the office answers to. Critics worry that it takes independence and transparency from a watchdog organization. Supporters say it safeguards the process from a rogue bureaucrat and streamlines the office. Other supporters say it's just a necessary change after the retirement of Aaron Allred, who served the office for 30 years. The bill barely slipped through the GOP supermajority House, with dozens of Republicans joining the Democrats to vote against the bill. It would have been the first bill to be rejected by the Senate. But after it was initially rejected, the Senate took a recess. When they came back, Senator Michael Azinger, a Republican from Wood County, asked to reconsider his vote. A revote was issued. Seven senators changed their vote. Senator Patricia Rucker, a Republican from Jefferson County, left before the second vote. She did not want to comment on leaving early and said she could not speak to what was said behind closed doors. She did say that there were things about the bill that just didn't sit right with her.
I actually don't think the bill is needed. I was not shown any reason for why we needed this legislation. I also really don't like the fact that it is decreasing transparency.
Azinger said that he and others didn't really understand the bill until it was explained to them in caucus in the recess, where GOP leadership dispelled some alleged misinformation. Senator Mike Caputo, a Democrat from Marion County, said confusing bills with misleading titles is part of the problem and lack of transparency behind bills like this.
So that's something that they've been doing for the last few years. The majority party has creatively naming bills that sound really good, so the public just hears that.
He said it's not always clear what the bills do.
It can sound so harmless, and then you look into it, and you're going, "Wow, I didn't realize that that would do that." But that's just a broad example, and it isn't always like that. I want to be clear, but there are some examples like you've described that is troubling, quite frankly.
Other bills passed today include topics on verifying age for the sale of vape products, patriotic organizations like the Boy Scouts having access to public schools, and the sale of raw milk. Or, as Senator Ryan Welb described the bill,
House Bill 4911, also known as the Listeria Comeback Tour Act, authorizes the sale of raw milk throughout the state of West Virginia.
Later this evening, highly controversial bills are slated to be considered by the Senate. They are bills on topics like vaccination requirements, Social Security tax cuts, and moonshine production. For our last regular Senate wrap, I'm Brianna Heaney in Charleston.
For their last story, our high school reporters, Ben Velo and Amira Mustafa, took a look at bills in the legislature that involve mental health issues.
Hey there, West Virginia.
Coming to you for our last segment for the legislature today at the West Virginia Public Broadcasting Studio, my name is Amira Mustafa.
And I am Ben Velo. For our last topic, we wanted to focus on one of the biggest issues our generation faces, mental health.
The CDC reported that 29% of Generation Z experienced poor mental health in 2021. In addition, they reported that 42% of students felt persistently sad or hopeless.
Mental health is clearly an issue in our generation. So how has our state legislature prioritized it?
Let's start by looking at House Bill 4679, sponsored by Democrat Delegate Kayla Young, who represents Kanawha County.
This bill would create the Youth Mental Health Protection Act, which would prevent conversion therapy from being administered to minors in West Virginia.
Conversion therapy is a practice of turning someone transgender or homosexual into being heterosexual or cisgender.
International leaders have urged for a global end to this practice and have even amounted it to torture.
This is paramount as West Virginia is one of the 28 states that legalize conversion therapy. If this bill passes, we will join the growing list of states that have banned this procedure.
A similar bill is being discussed in the Senate. Senate Bill 825, sponsored by Democrat Senator Michael Wolfel, who represents Cabell County, aims to protect West Virginia minors from conversion therapy.
Both of these bills have similar ways of protecting minors, but that doesn't mean that all legislators have the same strategies.
For example, Senator Mike Azinger from District 3 is sponsoring Senate Bill 194, which aims to prohibit transgender health care to minors to safeguard what he calls, quote, the mental and physical health of minors.
Transgender kids our age already have very few resources available to them, and gender-affirming surgeries are rarely ever done under the age of 18.
However, bills like these take away hormone therapy and small procedures, which inevitably diminish teens' mental health.
Mental health is extremely important and complex, but the leading cause of drug abuse and poverty is mental health. West Virginia has the highest reported overdose rate in the entire nation.
Drug addiction and abuse is known to be a mental health disorder, and our legislators are aiming to improve our numbers.
House Bill 4613, again sponsored by Democrat Delegate Kayla Young, would create insurance for drug abuse and mental health disorders. This bill would help West Virginians afford mental health care, as drug abuse often correlates with poverty.
Sadly, this bill hasn't had much movement since January.
However, House Bill 4629, sponsored by Delegate Young, has passed in the House and is now in its second reading in the Senate.
As stated in one of our previous segments about bills that affect students and education, this bill would create a way for colleges to receive a grant that would aid students who may not be able to afford food.
It's great to see bills like these progressing through our state legislature.
With one day left in the 2024 60-day legislative session and our representatives busy in the Capitol, we are eager to see which bills make the final cut.
It's been fun to track these bills and educate on the importance of the state legislature.
It's been an honor talking to you every week, and if there's one thing we want to leave you with, vote in May, vote in November, and vote always.
It is our duty as fathers, mothers, friends, and citizens to vote.
As always, I'm Ben Velo.
And I'm Amira Mustafa
for the legislature today.
For our last reporter roundtable of the session, our primary legislative reporters Randy Yohe and Brianna Heaney invited Leah Willingham of the Associated Press to our Capitol Street studio to discuss the session.
So about 59 days ago, we started with about 2,600 bills that were introduced by both senators and delegates. And 59 days later, maybe we've had 200-300 that have passed through, and they're the hot button lightning rod bills. They've moved to the bottom of their calendars and they are deliberating now like the Dickens, my uncle used to say. Leah Willingham with AP, thanks for being here. Bree joins us again. Leah, let's start out because you've been doing some research into this budget buster, perhaps, this $465 million federal clawback, which is basically money that was given to our Department of Education and schools to handle the COVID crisis. And the state of West Virginia was supposed to match in kind that money, but they say they didn't get the rules until after the money was spent. Take it from there.
Yeah, I think that there's been a little bit of confusion. There was so much money allocated for different things by Congress around the time of the pandemic. And after days of trying to figure out what exactly happened, I think I have some clarity in that there were two spending packages, or there was one, the CARES Act, that was passed, and there was money for schools in there. And pretty much the rules for that spending were that the state had to keep dollar for dollar its education spending, state education spending, the same. But there were two that were passed after that that applied to years 2022 and 2023 that were based on percentage of the overall budget and how much education took up in the overall budget. And we saw that decline in 2023. The budget, the spending was a lot higher than we had seen in past years, I think largely because of the state income tax cut, and that brought down in the budget the percentage of education spending. So whether it's a rule change or, you know, different rules for different spending packages, I guess there are different ways of saying it. But yeah, I think that is what has happened and what has kind of caused an issue for us here. And I had a conversation with some folks at the U.S. Department of Education, and I think it's unlikely that the money is going to be, you know, taken away from the state. They said they have lots of different ways of dealing with this, and I know that Justice is really pushing for pay raises and $150 million for the School Building Authority to try to get those numbers up, because the federal government will look favorably upon us, you know, putting some money into education.
So we get considered, we start to consider priorities and how we can afford them and how we can, when we can pay for them, if you will, if we have the right amount of budget. And I don't know if we even want to get into this whole trigger system when it comes to whether the 33% Social Security tax cut will happen, or the 4 or 5% employee pay raise to teachers and state employees. That's all yet to be determined. But talking about priorities, Bree, you've been covering the Senate now for 59 days, and there was, it's a little different from what they started out with to where they are now, isn't it?
Yeah, they started off with legislative priorities. I think that one of the major ones that I heard was, and this was a especially bipartisan one, was childcare. Other ones to pass some legislation that would help foster care in the state. And we are legitimately facing a extreme foster care crisis in this state. And just a litany of other bills that were really aimed at helping people and helping some of the people who really do need it the most. Unfortunately, most of those bills have not made it to the deadline. Today, there was, you know, at the same time, it is a little frustrating because we've had, you know, we've, like today we saw a bill legalizing the sale of raw milk. So
I know that at the beginning of the session, Speaker Hanshaw said that we've said this on a couple of other shows, but every big and small company that comes into West Virginia, they don't ask about roads first, they don't ask about schools, they ask about childcare. And so that's what we thought would really be pushed through with three or four bills, and there was one squeaked on, but never left committee, and it's quite not understandable to me, too.
Yeah, I think like one thing that I would love answers to is there was bipartisan support for those.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and the timing, I mean, I know it was this fall, our child care centers were getting, some of them, tens of thousands of dollars every month from the federal government. Another example of, you know, COVID money that is now gone, and they were really asking lawmakers to help them out this session, you know, aside from the economic development piece, which I think is a big motivator.
We've heard some delegates say, you know, when there's dollars designated and dollars that are coming out of taxpayers' pockets, there's a little more scrutiny to every bill.
I mean, I spent the first bit of right before the session, because childcare was a priority, I talked to some childcare facilities They were all kind of betting on getting some kind of relief this session. And that was something that I heard them echo, was that, you know, if they could do something similar to what was done during COVID, they would be a lot better off, because that was a good time for them when they were able to really take care of people better than they have been able to for decades.
Speaking of money and workers and putting money in people's pockets, the unemployment bill, which has been very controversial the last few days, this afternoon in the House, it was moved to the inactive calendar. Now, I guess it can come back, possibly, but not likely. And that's a bill that was very controversial, that would have cut the number of weeks that somebody would get unemployment, that it would cut the percentage of they would get while they were on those 24, 26 weeks. But there was worried about the solvency of the $390 million unemployment fund. So that one's gone now.
Yeah, I think there was some holdup. There was a conflict involving that bill and the vaccine exemption bill, and I guess they weren't able to come to an agreement, but you had a conversation with Senator Maroney, right?
I did, yes. I had a conversation with Senator Maroney this morning. He was very disappointed that the vaccine bill was on, it came out of his committee. He told me flat out that if it was up to him, it would have never been on his agenda. He said that most of the lawmakers who were pushing this bill forward had no idea what they were talking about. And he used some very strong language. He told me, and this was about the strongest language that he was used, that he was being forced to trade dead children for a bill that would cut unemployment benefits.
Wow.
Yeah, I think when the bill was passed out of Senate Health, he said, you know, I wouldn't be able to sleep at night if I didn't say, like, I think this is going to really harm the state.
And when it started out, the vaccine bill made some decent sense when it was talking about kids that were in virtual schools that weren't mandatorily made to get vaccines because they weren't going to be in physical contact with other kids. But then the amendments put all the rest of the private schools, all the school choice schools, and then religious exemptions. So that's where it went off the rails, I imagine. Leah, you were talking about a bigger, broader outlook of when it comes to women representing West Virginia in office.
Yeah, I've been working on a story during this session about our female lawmakers in the Capitol. West Virginia has the lowest number of female lawmakers in our state house out of any state in the country. I think it's just under 12% of our legislature, they're women. And it's been really interesting having conversations with the lawmakers about their path to office. It seems to me that often the cases where someone actually decides to run, it's because they had some personal experience in their life, like Senator Amy Grady, who's now Senate Education Chair, and she was participating in the teacher strikes and was able to see, you know, hey, maybe I can have a little bit more impact about what happens in the classroom if I run. But an issue we're seeing now is that there are more Democratic women running than ever, but those, since we have the Republican supermajority, those women aren't winning, and there are not a lot of Republican women running at this point.
You're talking about, go ahead, Bree.
Well, I was just gonna say, I had a conversation with Anitra Hamilton in the House and Senator Patricia Rucker in the Senate, who on the ideological spectrum are pretty far apart. At the same time, a lot of the things we talked about, they agreed on. And at the end, I asked, there's this bipartisan support way across the spectrum. Why aren't these things getting forward? And they both looked at me and told me there's not enough women in the House to care about these issues. They're not important because the people who are making the decisions aren't faced with these issues.
One thing that was forwarded this afternoon, when Amy Grady sponsored it, was the school discipline bill. It passed this afternoon in the House. Basically, teachers have said that this is the biggest problem. Just like Hanshaw said, child care was the biggest concern for economic development. Teachers in West Virginia are saying, we got more problems with student discipline than anything else. It's why teachers aren't coming. It's why teachers aren't staying. So now there are rules set up for the overly disruptive child to go to a center, if there's a center that county can afford. If not, they're taken to their parents. They could even be taken away in a police car. Those opposed to the bill said that's not the way to handle it. We're back-ending again. We're not working on mental health and the substance abuse issues that caused these problems in the first place. Heavy debate back and forth, and it passed 86-12, if I'm not mistaken. Thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, this has been a big issue for the 2 years I've been here, and I know the year before last school year, there was some data that showed 1 in 4 foster kids were suspended in schools. And that, as you said, I think it's a lot of adverse childhood experiences tied to the opioid epidemic that are causing a lot of behavioral issues. And, you know, it's hard to know what's the best way to handle
it. Not just foster kids, minority children,
yeah,
too.
Yes, yeah, 1 in 5
yeah,
black
there,
children,
yeah, there have
think,
been
yeah.
statistics on more minorities yeah. having problems with student discipline. You heard a lot of the debate there in the Senate.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We got about a minute left. Culture wars. Let's just a thought, final thought from each of us on this term that you've heard and what it means.
Well, we spent a lot of time talking about it this session. It seems to me that it means, you know, these big national issues that are getting a lot of conversation, having to do with LGBTQ issues, gun policy. We saw a bill that I don't think is going anywhere at this point that would allow teachers to carry guns in schools.
Dead so far.
Yes. You know, bills like that. Another further restriction on gender-affirming care for mm-hmm. transgender kids that I think is also
Women's Bill
not
of
going
rights.
Anywhere. Women's Bill of Rights. A lot of conversation about bills that seemingly have not gone anywhere on day 59.
It's something that we're going to continue to follow. We've got one more day left. We're going to be keeping an eye on it. Take a look at your AP stories with Leah Willingham. Bree and I, we're going to go back, and all three of us are going to keep looking at the House and the Senate. And we thank you for joining us. And for all these roundtables, we appreciate your viewing as well.
Thank you for spending this time with us. There are hundreds of bills introduced each session, and a fraction of those get passed. We aren't able to talk about every bill in a half-hour show, but you could browse the legislature's website under bill status and select completed legislation to see what has passed and where things stand. Tomorrow, we will broadcast the final hours of the legislative session beginning at 8 p.m. Please join us. I'm Curtis Tate. For everyone here at WVPB, thanks for joining us and have a great evening.
Support for the legislature today is provided by West Virginia University, offering education, healthcare, and the opportunity to achieve career success since 1867. Information at go.wvu.edu/forward.